This is an ABC podcast.
A romance with dance and passion for fashion has led to a conundrum that we hope to solve today. Welcome to Three Bags Full, a Landline podcast, updating you on the TV stories you loved. This is the story of Dulcie's Dresses. G'day, I'm John Taylor. It was 2015 and Pip Courtney donned her ball gown and gloves and danced to the beat of her own drum at a country deb ball. What a sight.
Thank you, John. Actually, I think it might have been made out of denim. But anyway.
And for people that don't know what a debutante ball is...
Well, it's when young girls hit, some of them it's 16, some of them it's 18, but it's very much coming out into the community saying, I'm now a lady. And it's white dresses, long gloves, a partner.
So it's almost like a Jane Austen novel, but it's in the bush here in Australia, in these curious places, country town halls.
Correct, yep. I came across this amazing book called Frocks, Country Halls and Deb Balls. And from that, I thought, I reckon we can do a story about this. And as every woman knows, when you go to a dance, you want to look amazing. So this story is very much about dresses.
The book, Frocks, Country Halls and Deb Balls, was created as a result of a collection of frocks owned by Mrs. Dulcie Mason. The frocks span about five decades, and she had most of them made to go dancing to deb balls in the country halls in the northeastern Darling Downs.
So Dulcie was a bit of a Queensland dancer.
She wasn't just a dancer, but a character. She loved bright colours, she loved bling, she loved bows, and Nikki Laws, the author of the book, was captivated by Dulcie.
Yes, she wasn't a shrinking violet. We were amazed by the colours and you know, the combination of colours that you wouldn't dream of, but it was her personality.
And then I met Dulcie during the original shoot in 2015. It was quite a moment.
And I bet she was a sight.
She was. We met her in a nursing home, and they wheeled her in on the... on like a bed into the meeting area, and she was in red lace, her hair done, full makeup, hairspray. I think she'd gone and had her hair set. It was just gorgeous. And the cameraman who worked on the shoot, who's worked all around the world, said that was the most amazing moment, and he got quite teary.
I loved red. Yeah, red was my colour.
How would you describe your style?
Oh, yeah, I'm a shiny girl. I love the shiny. I think I was born dancing. I just loved it. All I lived for. And we had all them years, our married life, dancing all the time.
Did you have a good dancing partner in your husband?
Oh, yeah. He was a good dancer. So when I hooked him properly. I thought, this is me, mate.
And Nikki... she just wishes that she had met Dulcie way, way earlier.
I didn't know Dulcie as a younger woman, but everybody tells me that she was, you know, caught everybody's attention, that she would turn up at a dance and walk in the room and all the eyes would turn to her.
So Dulcie was really then in her dancing prime, and say in Queensland in the 1950s, 60s, 70s?
Yep. When I met her, she was very old.
And what was it about dancing that was really important to her and to other country communities?
Well, I think apart from the church and maybe the racetrack, the hall was the place where everybody of all ages went to catch up with each other. And they all worked so hard back then. It was a chance to let off steam and for the women to dress up.
That's only why we worked hard, because we got out amongst it, and it was the dancing that brought the loveliness in it, that we could carry on the next week of our hard-working days. My husband and I, we'd always hit the floor straight away, and we'd dance from 8 o'clock till 2 in the morning. And then they'd be folding up the orchestra, and we were still dancing, us two. They said, haven't you two people got anywhere to go? Don't you own a home? We said, no, keep playing. So they kept playing for us.
If you danced till 2, who was in the dairy first thing in the morning?
Oh, two of us would get up and do the whole lot. Yeah, the dairy, and yeah, we'd get up after this big night out, and I'll tell you what, we might have been tired, but the dancing kept us going with our work.
And you know, TV didn't come to Australia until 1952, and you would imagine it was even longer to get out into the bush as well. So this was a chance for community and for people to be entertained at night time, apart from just sitting at home.
We actually met some people at the Deb Ball who were really, really young during this period, who said they remembered going there and eating sandwiches and then falling asleep under the pews. It was an amazing place for them all to get together.
And Dulcie would get a new dress made for every dance, but here she is living out in the country. So who was making them for her?
Well, it was one woman who made them over all those decades. And it's a lady called Thelma Butel, who lived in Auckland.
I used to say that to people, she's made me like a queen.
What was the perfect dancing dress for you?
Oh, the one that just held down and flew open. That was Dulcie, you know.
Who was Thelma Butel? Just another country woman herself?
Correct, and she was a dressmaker, and apparently they were very, very different, but became extremely close.
And she ended up with, what, 70-odd dresses or so. So never having worn a dress myself, what is it about these dresses?
They are impressive. But as Nikki says, the real treat is that they are a snapshot of history, nearly 40 years' worth of fashion, which Dulcie interpreted in her own way by perhaps giving Thelma a drawing or a picture from a Women's Weekly.
It's a really interesting collection, important, not that it's high couture, it's actually just country couture. Each individual dress is not important, but when you see the entire collection, that one person has kept them and kept them in immaculate conditions under, you know, good climate in the house, and they've been worn once. You know, those dresses weren't overused and none of them are damaged. Fashion is not frivolous. Fashion really has a purpose. It's important. It sort of stamps that person as who they are and what era they're in and their status in a community as well. So it tells a lot about people.
Fair amount of rayon in them, Pip?
She was not a big fan of natural fibres, Dulcie, which means no moth would go near it. It's polyester and, they will last forever.
Was there much interest in the book, Frocks, Country Halls and Deb Balls?
There was, and photographer Anne says it has been received really, really well.
We had an amazing response. It was wonderful, really. I think we're into our fourth edition now, which means we've probably sold almost 400 of the books. And subsequently, we were invited to hold talks. So we take along some frocks and a couple of mannequins, and then we would talk about the frocks and about Dulcie Mason and Thelma Butel, and also a bit about Deb Ball.
Dulcie was in her 90s when you met her, Pip, in 2015. But looking back at that story, when Dulcie's talking about the dresses and the dances and the country halls, the years just sort of fell away from her. She loved it, obviously. What happened to her and the dresses?
You're right, the years would fall away, and I actually found it very difficult keeping my stuff together during that interview. I had pretty wet eyes during a lot of it when she spoke. But unfortunately, Dulcie died recently, and she wasn't well when we saw her. So after Dulcie died, what's going to happen to the dresses? Who will love these dresses? Who will appreciate these dresses as one whole collection and the story of a woman's life?
But they were reflective of a broader community, weren't they? This is looked at one pocket of Australia, but really the same thing was happening at the same time all over this nation.
That collection talks to everyone of a particular era, and if you're not of that era, you can still be fascinated by it. And I think we all on the shoot were getting quite nostalgic about it.
If the walls could talk.
Yeah, if the walls could talk.
So then what happened to the dresses then after Dulcie died?
So Dulcie wanted them to go to someone who would appreciate them. She did care about what happened to them after she died. Mm-hmm. And so she left them to Nikki, one of the authors. And then unfortunately, Nikki, who had cancer and then it came back, unfortunately she died in September. And she had been trying to find a home for the dresses, but she ran out of time. So Anne, the book's photographer and Nikki's business partner, is still hoping that the dresses will find a home.
Dulcie actually left her dresses to Nikki in her will. There's about 70 frocks in the collection, and it was her intention to find a home, a permanent home, for the frocks where they could be on permanent display, or at least display some of the frocks at some time. But she wasn't able to complete that and to finish that.
It'd be really great if these dresses could be looked after by a museum or a collector, because really it is a slice of regional Australian history, isn't it?
I think so, and it's so relevant to women. You go through country towns, as we do on our trips, there are so many old museums or areas set aside for old farm equipment.
Yes, there's lots of machinery
lots of
museums.
Those. And that's very much talking to men. Hmm. But dresses can tell a story, and I think they're incredibly important. And the fact that you could go and look at those dresses, I think it's a great opportunity for a regional museum, a regional institution to save them and show them. And we've done some digging and made some calls to try and secure the collection a new home. And during the research, we found that bequeathing dresses isn't actually uncommon.
Really?
Yes. And Charlotte Smith, who lives in New South Wales, she was gifted some dresses by her godmother, and it ended up changing her life.
My collection began with my American Quaker godmother, Doris Darnell, who began collecting clothing in 1937. And she was collecting it because she loved the idea that she was continuing to treasure someone else's treasure. Over the next sort of 70 or 80 years, she was given pieces by friends, family, and when she became well-known, it was given to her by people who had heard about her. She would ask for a special story, either about the person who donated the piece and their family, maybe something about the decade that was relevant to the date of garment, or a story about that garment being worn. So, really what she was doing was creating a visual library of social history and really women's stories through fashion.
So has Charlotte Smith seen Dulcie's dresses?
Not in the flesh. She hasn't had the pleasure of running her hands over all that
brocade,
man-made fabric. But she did watch the original story and she was really, really impressed. And I am so glad that she gets it, because she could have been a bit underwhelmed because it's homemade, it's not couture, but she was really impressed.
I feel very, annoyed that I never saw that on Landline, Dulcie's story, because, her story is something that is, it's like a real chapter in Australian history and little in Queensland's history. To think that somebody had the foresight, the passion and the need to have a dress made for each of her dances, and to think of 60 dances. So once again, it's not just a dress hanging up on a hanger. I mean, the colour and the vitality that kind of exudes from the patterns is just, it's phenomenal. I mean, I don't know Queensland that well, but to think of a woman in a regional part of Queensland going to these dances, wearing dresses that honestly, like, that there's a wonderful kind of, multicolour paisley looking, and then there was another one that had, I think it was turquoise blue with, beads on it. I thought, my gosh, you could go to some party in London and feel totally at home and appropriately dressed. She was definitely not a wallflower, and I love that. I love how clothing can say that.
It sure beats skinny jeans and a Casio watch. Would Charlotte Smith take the dresses?
Well, John, she's interested.
Well, I would absolutely adore to discuss further with whomever is now the custodian of these dresses and see what it is they're hoping. Because, of course, there's always room in my collection for a wonderful story about one woman. And I think, actually, it's sometimes easier even if it's 60 dresses, to have 60 dresses that belong to one woman, but suddenly to get a whole collection like this, yes, would easily fit in.
But they wouldn't be displayed and they wouldn't be close to Dulcie's hometown.
No, that's not how Charlotte works. All her collection is in sort of a massive storage unit, and then she comes up with ideas to maybe take some of the dresses out and take them to an event, or she's approached, and so she'll go in and pick out what she wants to take. Nikki and I spoke about this before she died. She wanted them in Dulcie's region. Mm-hmm. We are in contact with a regional museum, which is really, really keen, and they got it right from the get-go. And signs are looking promising, but we can't say anything just yet. So fingers crossed, and we'll keep you updated via the Facebook and podcast webpage.
Pip, you know, we can tease each other about the fibre in these dresses, but it's important to remember that these were very beautiful at the time, weren't they? And these were clothes that were hard-earned by Dulcie, and in a way other people like Dulcie too, that were uncelebrated, but they were important and they were part of their life at a time of no mass communication, no internet, hard to get anywhere around this vast nation as well.
Correct. She was still tapping into fashion. She might have been working hard with chickens and cows and kids, but she was very definite with Thelma about what she wanted, and you can see the fashions are changing. And apparently Thelma used to have to try and tone her down. Spoke to her son and he said, Mum was always trying to take a bow off or a bit of bling off, and Dulcie's like, no, put more on.
We're hoping to save the dresses, but the original story was also about saving country halls. Did you have any luck at that time?
Well, Anne has some good news about that too.
The Gowrie Little Plains Hall, which is a wonderful old hall that we both loved very much, they hold the Deb of the Year Ball. And their numbers were declining, really, and they were even wondering if they could continue it. But after Landline came and did a story called The Last Dance at the Gowrie Plain Little Hall, there was great interest. There was a great crowd and a wonderful crowd in the following year. And subsequently, other events began to be held in the hall. So it's still growing strong, which is just lovely.
Thank you, Pip. Let's hope it all works out and we can get these dresses a permanent home, but personally I think dancing is the art of getting your feet out of the way faster than your partner can step on them.
That's very good. And hopefully people will go back and have a look at the old story and consider maybe learning some of those old dances.
You can check out the original story plus pictures of Dulcie's dresses on the ABC Landline website, podcast or Facebook pages. And don't forget to visit those pages for updates on a home for the dresses. Next week on Three Bags Full, Landline makes country music videos.
The first clip we ever did, I think, was probably Boys from the Bush, actually. And there was no country music program on television anywhere. And Lee was unknown then. So we decided to do this clip on this rather catchy sort of song. And he agreed.
If you like this podcast, please write a review. It'll help other people find us. Why not check out some of the other podcasts by the ABC, like Tall Tales and True? I'm John Taylor, and thanks to our series producer, Helena Bachkowski. On Facebook, Judith says, always enjoy Landline, the TV show, the reports, clear explanations, great photography, and of course, Pip Courtney as a presenter. One happy old lady. To which Cheryl replied, Judith, perhaps a little less of the old. Judith came back with gusto. Sorry, Cheryl, I was referring to myself. I'm the 78-year-old old lady. I would not be so rude as to say that about Pip. Thank you, Judith.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listener.